All right, let's turn in our Bible to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I love this chapter. There's some things I had to deal with this week that were trying. And boy, I found so much comfort in this. So much comfort. And I want to start off by just looking at one verse, and then we're going to expand it out. But I just want to start it with that one, because there's so much truth in it. John chapter 10, verse 10. And let me hit you with it. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come, Jesus has come, that people may have life. He is a giver of life. And we are beings, physical beings, that have been created with the potential to have spiritual life. And it's not just an awakening. It is an awakening to a lifestyle and a walk where we can walk with the Lord. We can have a lifestyle, and I was trying to think this week about how do I describe the lifestyle. And the lifestyle, this is how I would describe the lifestyle. We can have a lifestyle where we live continually filled to the max. That's what it's like when you're walking with Him, where His Holy Spirit is just filling you. It's not like you're living where you kind of get a filled up and then throughout the week it just goes down, goes down, goes down, goes down, goes down, and then hopefully you go to church and you get filled up again. And no, it's not like that. I mean, I hope to think that coming to church is a wonderful, encouraging thing to you, but it's just part of the whole thing, part of the way the Lord takes care of you. And walking with Him, His mercies are new every morning. There's things that He wants to teach you first thing in the morning. There's lessons to learn throughout the early part of the day. In the middle part of the day, that you'll be at a different place mentally, and you'll be dealing with different things. And there's ways that He can use you, things that He can teach you, things that He can remind you of as you go throughout the day. And then when you get to the end of the day, there's things that you think about at the end of the day that you don't think about in the morning. Are any of you people that sometimes you get doing a lot of thinking at night? Or maybe you go to bed and you sleep for about 2 hours, then you wake up thinking? Well, the Lord is there, and there is encouragement to receive from Him, and there is help to receive from Him, and then there is His presence. And there's something about His presence that there's nothing to compare it to. It's hard when you're talking to people who don't really know what it's like to live like this to tell them what it's like. But when you are filled with Him and you are walking with Him, it's like the joy meter goes all the way up. It's pegged at max. And the feeling loved goes all the way up, and it is hitting the max. And it makes you now, you are capable of loving others, push that dial right up to the max. And it's easy to love others when you are feeling overwhelmingly loved yourself. You're coming from a position of strength, and that is the life that He's given us. We can have fellowship with Him. We can walk with Him. We can know His presence. Oh. What a wondrous, wondrous thing it is. I know I have some music that I like to listen to that seems to make me feel so close to God. And it seems like the older that I get, the more things that I find that make me feel close to God. I mean, at this stage in life, I think I could fill up page after page telling you songs or musicians or even poetry that make me feel so very close to God. And there's sometimes when I'll put something on, and I could be going to the grocery store. I could be coming to school to teach. I could be going to visit someone. It doesn't matter. Where it just seems like the Lord is there so close, and I feel Him in such a wonderful way. And He reminds me of His scriptures, and I think about answers to prayer I've seen, and I've seen beautiful ways that He's been working in things. And I am just left in awe. Just driving up the street. So a lot of times I'll put my sunglasses on because it'll often have an emotional response upon me. And I'm just praising the Lord in his presence. This is what he's talking about. He says, I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. You know, sometimes I see young people and it's almost like they think that when they meet that special someone is going to fill that place in their life. It's that relationship where they're going to make them feel so loved. I hate to disappoint them, but there's no human relationship that's going to fill that void in your life. Even if you have a great one, I got a great one. My wife usually likes to see me. She usually likes to do things with me. And I think she likes a lot of things about me. But, you know, she's just a person. She's not everywhere. And she's wonderful. I love doing stuff with her. And, but she's not God. And I believe that her and me being together was something that God has ordained, and God has brought so much good into my life through the whole thing. But I'm no replacement for Jesus Christ in Tammy's life. And Tammy is no replacement for Jesus Christ in my life. Jesus says the kingdom of God is almost like having a spring of water within you that is forever bubbling up new and fresh. And you don't get that out of a relationship in life with another person. You get that out of your relationship with him. He has come that we may have life. Now, the first part of that verse, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So there's a tug of war that goes on. Because we have an enemy, and we'll just stay right with this verse, verse 10, who is the one he's referring to as the thief. And the thief tries to mislead people. But in the end, the thief has a plan. And when you give it enough time to see the plan unfold, usually it's too late. Because the thief's plan is not to give you life, but to steal life from you. Just this week, I had the wonderful privilege of being able to be connected with another one of my birth siblings. And it has not been a life of walking with God. And and it just reminds me of this scripture. The thief comes only to steal. And years have been stolen. Years have been stolen. But it's interesting how God works. Because here I am, Mr. Distant Guy, finding out some things that are going on. And I have a niece, my sister's daughter. And somehow, someone invited my niece to a church. And my niece found out about the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything's been changing in her life. You look on, find her on social media, and here's these post after post after post that I found Jesus Christ. He's the greatest thing in the world. I love Jesus more than anything at all. And it's that niece that I got to be able to get connected to this week. And then I found out how she is trying to minister to her family members up there who don't know who Jesus is, who are living these lost, empty lives. And there she is, and God has a wonderful way of reaching people. And in some ways, you could say, I believe that God reached my niece in the midst of all this yuckiness, because now she's a light. And I'm watching what I'm seeing, and She's spreading the light to the people that are around her. It's a beautiful thing. It's so beautiful how the Lord Jesus works. And the thief may come to steal years of your life, steal a young person's innocence, steal somebody's hope of having a normal life or having a family or having a conscience that is not scarred with memory after memory after memory of things that are awful. Thief comes to do all those things. Thief comes ultimately to kill. Kill relationships, kill a person's body, kill a person's mind. You know, we were not made for hatred. We were not made for sexual immorality. We were not made to hold on to grudges and all these things. We weren't. And when we try to hold on to these things and we try to live those types of lives, Hollywood may take some of these vices and hold them up and almost look a little bit glamorous, but you let time go by. And these things age us, and they steal from us, and they leave us old and empty and hurting. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But the beautiful part of this is the last part. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. And there are those that have been wrecked by the thief. But he has come that they may have life. He can rescue people. He can pull people out of the depths. And you know, the church isn't just a place where people who have made good decisions in life come and fellowship together. A church is a place where the truth is proclaimed and where the truth is shared with people sometimes that have had spent a lifetime of making bad decisions. And the church is a place where people whose lives have been wrecked can find truth and people that will love them and help them to find life. You know, if you are a person that your life is not marred with all kinds of sin, you need to thank God. But you need to understand that you are in a position now that you can help people that desperately need you. There, folks that have been living in sin for a long time can definitely be saved by the Lord. But generally how the plan works is he will reach them, but then he needs people that he can use who will love them. And if people have been in the depths a long time, when he pulls them out, he's going to need someone who's going to come alongside them and be a friend and meet with them a lot to help them to learn to walk in the light. Read a wonderful book recently. Title of the book is Gay Girl, Good God. And it's about a young lady who struggled with same-sex attraction and in her high school years decided to adopt a homosexual lifestyle. And she talks about her Christian upbringing and why she always felt a distance between her and Jesus. And she tried everything she could to kind of reconcile her lifestyle with the Lord Jesus that she got introduced to as a child. And she spent several years trying to do that. She found churches that embraced her lifestyle and celebrated her lifestyle, but she goes, she just felt like there was something really missing there. And she got into the Word, and the Lord Jesus was there for her. And she found herself, when she opened up her heart to him, and she opened up so that he could come into every part of her life to really to save her. She was changed, changed big time. She just hungered to be in the Word. She hungered to be in church. But she also knew that she needed a mature woman to help her because she'd had a lot of years involved in a lot of different things. And she knew that she needed to find somebody who was a mature woman of faith who would be willing to invest the time and energy in her to help her get established in her faith and to make adjustments in her lifestyle. And she found someone. It required her making some adjustments in life. She needed to, the lady she found didn't go to her church and didn't live nearby. But she made the adjustments when she found somebody who was willing to disciple her and willing to walk with her and made all the difference in the world in her healing. But she found life. And she testifies today that the Lord Jesus Christ is reaching out to people in all different types of circumstances. And his grace is reaching people. And praise the Lord. So if you are somebody and you have been blessed with a very a solid, consistent Christian life, you have something to offer people. You really do. Because folks that are deep in sin, they don't even know that people like you exist. They don't. And they don't know how good it is either. You know? They don't know how good it is. But it's up to us. We can tell them how good it is. All right, let's spread out a little bit more in this section here. We were in 10:10. Look what came just before that. Verse 7. Jesus is talking. He says, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And Jesus is the hope of the world. And he is the gate. He is the one that we enter through. He is the one through which we can come to the Father. Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. I'd like to just jump over real quick. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And this could be a whole sermon on its own. And I just want to just look at one thing real quick in it. It's just so encouraging. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and let's just stop right here. When he's talking about the most holy place, he's talking about the Holy of Holies in the temple. And throughout the book of Hebrews, he helps us understand that the earthly temple that used to be in Jerusalem is a copy of a real one in heaven. And he says, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you and me, who believe on Jesus Christ and have been saved, we have now access to the Father. We have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to the Heavenly Father's presence because of Jesus' blood. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and hold on, one more time, let me just hit one more time. When the temple on earth was here, it was just a physical earthly copy of a reality that was in heaven. And the Holy of Holies was something that was only entered in once a year by the high priest. It was a sin for a priest to even look behind the curtain to see, to check things out behind the curtain. That was considered where God's presence dwelt, above the Ark of the Covenant there. Is where it was kind of that his presence dwelt there. It says, now we don't have to go through a priest. We do not have to wait once a year. You and I can go before the Father's presence because of the blood of Jesus. We have a privilege to do that by a new and living way opened us up to us through the curtain that is his body. And let's just remember, Jesus just told, he says, I am the gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life to what? The way to the Father. And the Father wanted us to be able to have fellowship with him. He made a way through Jesus. Verse 21, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, that's Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to God. If it wouldn't cause such a ruckus now, I would love to come down and pick up my little granddaughter. And she is the sweetest little girl that has ever lived. And you know, I love to hug her in such a way that I bring her up in here, and I wrap my arm all the way around her this way, and I wrap my other arm all the way around her this way, and she snuggles in here, and she makes her baby noises, and I kiss her on the head, and I just tell her, I just say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I'm so happy that I have you in my life. And think about this, we have been called near to God the Father. He's not pushing us away like we're just some member of a huge crowd. He has called us into intimate fellowship with him. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. I tell you what, saint, when you kneel beside your bed at night and you turn, look to the Lord and you come in Jesus' name, God the Father is there and he is hearing your prayers. He's not hearing your prayers like you're a stranger. He's hearing your prayers like you're a child of his. Oh, he loves you. He cares for you. Oh, my goodness. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Having our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And I love the little tag on the end. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's what we're supposed to do when we come to church on Sunday. We are supposed to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We are supposed to share with each other answers to prayer and encouraging things. And just, you can trust God. He is good. Amen. So he's the gate. All right, back to John 10. Go to the very next verse, 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And he goes on in the next little bit, he's talking about the difference between a good shepherd and a lousy shepherd. A good shepherd, and I shouldn't just say a good shepherd and a lousy shepherd. It's a good shepherd and a hireling. A good shepherd and a hireling. There are several restaurants in our town that are smaller restaurants where the owner works in the restaurant. And I know that you've been to them. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And in a lot of cases, when the owner's there, the service you get is different than when he's not. You know what I mean? When the owner's there, there is no such thing as a napkin laying on the floor. Because that guy will or girl will move and make it happen. And the good shepherd is one who cares for those sheep just as if they were his personal family members. The good shepherd does more than care for the sheep. The good shepherd loves the sheep. The good shepherd cares for the sheep so much that he will risk his own self for the sheep. So in other words, if there's a dangerous animal coming and there's the whole flock and there's one sheep there, a hireling may say, it's only one sheep. A good shepherd would say, that's my sheep Fluffy that I love. I guess you'd name all of them Fluffy. Or Whitey. What are you going to name them? Ba. hireling's different. The hireling's like, oh, wolf, I didn't sign up for that, and I might not win this one, so all right, wolf, I guess you get it. You get to have sheep today. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and you can count on me. Your life is safe with me because I will love you. I will love you. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, because we've been called into fellowship with him. Verse 15, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I mean, how can Jesus possibly love you any more than that? I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. And the sheep listen to the good shepherd's voice. And you know, if we will search in our heart of hearts, we know when we hear his voice, we know it. And we know that we can always trust him. Now, sometimes there may be a rebellion. Maybe he's trying to lead us to do something, and for whatever reason, we're making that move as a challenge. But we always know his, what he wants us to do is always best. And we just need to trust him. It's always best. So let's wrap up the sermon where I started. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. It's not just being alive. It's having a full life. I'm going to pray for you, and then Pastor Scott's going to come up. Dear God, I thank you so much for these good people. I know that they are very, very special to you. I know, Lord, you have places you put them, where they go to school or where they work or neighborhoods where they live. And I know their lives matter. And I know they love you too. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd bless them richly. Be with them this week. Use them, Heavenly Father, to reflect you well. Encourage them. And, Lord, it's such a wonderful thing to walk with you. That's what life's all about. And we're thankful we can do it. In Jesus' name, amen.